You can listen to the audio recording of those meetings. And our website is www.radsgwater.org. And I think you're going to give them that later too, aren't you?
I don't specifically.
So I'll give it to you again. RadsGwater.org. Okay? All right, now, administrative stuff out of the way. Let's get into a few introductions. My name is Wayne Wilson, and I have the privilege, and it is a privilege, of serving as chair of RadsG. And also, we have our vice chair here with us, Ms. Gail Peek. And we have another member of the group with us here, Zach Holland, who gave our invocation. Thank you all for being here. We also have, who is working on this microphone right here, Steve Hamlin. He's with Brazos River Authority. He is our administrative agent for Region G. And then we have David Dunn with HDR. He is our technical consultant. He'll be doing the presentation. And if you have some others from HDR, we're going to let him introduce those. I'd also like to thank the City of College Station for letting us use this facility. It's a nice place. If you can find it, it's really nice. When I came, there was a truck in the middle of the road, and I had to go around, and I told my wife, I said, I hope I don't get stuck and block everybody else. They're working on one of the poles. But I'd also like to especially thank Jennifer Nations for helping us get this room and put all this together here in this lower basin area. Now, Jennifer is the water resource coordinator for the City of College Station, and I've asked her if she would say a few words. Welcome.
Thank you so much. We're pleased and honored to be able to host it. The meeting today, the location is super easy for some of us to find. If you need to use the restroom, just go out these doors here and then turn left. The men's on that side, the women's on that side. There's water fountains in between there. We do have Wi-Fi here. I wrote it up there on the front board. The network is COCS-open, and then you just click a splash page will come up, and you just click agree to sign your live way if you do anything wrong. We have coffee, two pots of coffee back there, and creamer and cups and everything, and if we run out, I can make more. And then we've got there's the sign-in sheet there, so everybody, I think, has already signed in. If you haven't, please sign in.
So why are we here? Good question. I'm glad that y'all asked that question. It'll take you about an hour to answer it, but I'm going to put it down a little short. So the Brazos G Regional Planning Group has worked 5 years, and we have prepared the 2021 initially prepared plan. David with HDR is going to present the lower counties of the area that Brazos G represents, and we are of our draft plan, and we are looking for your input, stakeholder input, on what you think about the plan for this area, that whole plan overall. If you have questions about something in another region, I think David can answer that too.
Another
county, yeah, another sub-region.
Don't
ask about Region C or D or G or anything like that.
I could make disparaging comments about that.
We'll just leave it at that. Don't ask about any of those. So we do value your input. That's why we're having this meeting. We want to hear from you. Please feel free during the presentation, if you have a question, to raise your hand and ask David. Don't ask me or Gail or Zach, because we're going to then ask David. And then he's going to have one of these in the back answer the question. Who did the Brazos County plan? So the girl in the middle, if you're No, we're glad you're here. Your questions and comments and suggestions and recommendations are welcome. We hope that you have some. We hope you like the plan. I think that the group, 23 members, have worked really hard for the past 5 years to put this plan together. And if we can make it better, we welcome your input. And with that, David, come up and give your presentation. Hopefully we'll have you out here by dinner. Lunch?
You talking dinner, lunch, or dinner, supper?
No, dinner, and then I changed it to lunch. Right, couple hours.
I would like to introduce, on the back far, my back far left, Daniel Frazier with HDR, Brittany Duarte with HDR, and Jenna Rao. They are kind of the core team that's been helping me put together the strategy plan. They've essentially been doing the heavy lifting while I sit back with my feet up on my desk. This is the agenda for today. Wayne's got three introductions. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I'd like to accomplish in terms of meeting goals today. Then I'll probably give a brief overview of the regional water planning process for those of you who may not be familiar with it. Talk about next steps, what's our schedule from here on out. Then we'll go through draft plans for specifically water user groups in the Brazos G area. A water user group is defined as a retail water utility or any form of public water supplier. We have some prison units that are water user groups that sell or utilize 100 acre feet per year of water or more. 100 acre feet is a little less than a tenth of an MGD. So we're getting down to a pretty small retail. We actually have a trailer park that is a water user group this round of planning in Region G. The cutoff used to be 280 acre feet per year. Now it's down to 100. So we added about 45 new water user groups in the 2021 plan that were not mentioned in the 2016 plan. They were rolled into the county level. So there's some differences there. We're going to talk a little bit about water user groups and needs that there's really no economically viable solution to provide them water. We could put a project in the plan. Would it ever be developed to meet that need? No. So there's going to be some instances where we leave some needs unmet and talk about that. And then open it up for any comments and discussion. After we're done with the presentation, if you have any specific questions about how did you arrive at what our water demands, what our water shortages are, we have that information back on laptops. We're open. I'll be back there, three of those. Our three staff members will be back there to help get into the data and tell you where all this came from. I'm not going to get into that detail up here. Any questions before I get going? So three fairly easy meeting goals. One, to present an overview of this planning process. For those of you who are not familiar with it, I see a lot of familiar faces. Most of you are pretty much familiar with it. Present the draft plans that we have for these water user groups, these retail water utilities and public water systems, and then obtain feedback. If there's a project that you are pursuing, particularly that you would like to get Water Development Board funding for, that you would like to see in the plan that we didn't know about, or that maybe you sent us an email and it got snagged by my email filter and I never saw it, we're requesting a project. We like to do these sub-regional meetings before we release the initiative prepared plan and make certain that the initiative prepared plan does include the plans of local providers. Brazos G's goal to have the regional plan reflect what local water utilities and wholesale water providers are doing. We want the plan to reflect your plan. We don't want to just come from the top and just say, this is what you ought to be doing. We have over 300 individual water user groups in Region G. Not every one of them coordinates closely with us. Some coordinate very closely with us. So in those instances, we don't have the funding or the budget or time to go out and contact everyone. That's why we like having these sub-regional meetings. It gives people the opportunity to come visit with us and tell us what your plans are. So the state, back in 1997, with Senate Bill 1, it was a big omnibus water bill that established this regional water planning process and did several other things as well. It divided the state up into 16 planning areas, regional water planning areas shown here. Region G is in this white area here. It's 37 counties, predominantly in the central Brazos River District. We have 37 counties that we're responsible for. I think G is the second largest in geographic area and largest in number of counties, maybe. It's close. Region F might be a little bit bigger. This planning process is important because funding is tied to projects in the plan. Remember a couple of legislative cycles ago, we actually had an amendment to the Texas Constitution to allow funds from the Rainy Day Fund to be used for water planning. They pulled $1 billion out and set up this planning process called the State State Water Implementation Fund for Texas, or SWIFT. If you want to get funding under the SWIFT loan process, your project has to be specifically identified in the regional and state water plan. If you want to do any type of TCEQ water right or water right amendment, some groundwater districts were part of this as well, your project at least has to be consistent with the regional and state plans. That's why the planning process is important. And then on a kind of a bigger picture scale, this regional planning process and the state water planning process, it provides an overall water picture for the state. Where are we going as the state of Texas in terms of looking forward and being assured that our future generations are going to have enough water to live on and meet agricultural needs, steam electric needs, municipal needs, all those water needs that we have that a lot of times folks don't think about. This process plans for that from the bottom-up process. Before 1997, before Senate Bill 1, the Water Development Board did a state water plan every 5 years. It was more of a top-down approach. Water Development Board just kind of did what they thought and recommended what they thought people needed. This is a bottom-up process. Little statistics about Region G. We are the red area there. We have 37 counties. We have 538 individual, what we call, water user groups. 353 of those are municipal water user groups. That's the retail water utilities, public water suppliers that utilize 180 feet of water per year. And then for each of the counties, we have five other types of use that are county aggregated. So we have, each county has a manufacturing water user group, a steam electric water user group, irrigation, livestock, and mining. Then on top of that, we have 10 what are called wholesale water providers in Region G. Those are water providers that don't sell retail water, but provide wholesale water to other water user groups or other wholesale water providers who then turn around and sell that water. The Brazos River Authority is the biggest wholesale water provider in the region. But we have several others, we have 9 other wholesale water providers, and all they do is sell wholesale water. The Brazos G Regional Water Planning Group is made up of state-mandated interest group representation. So we have the public, counties, municipalities, agriculture, industry, and environment. Within the last two planning cycles, they added groundwater management areas as an interest group to be represented. We have 5 planning group members now that represent groundwater management areas. The regional water planning process is shown on this flow chart. First thing we do is describe the region. That's chapter 1 of the plan. And I don't know why, I should probably move it from the first step, but this is actually one of the last steps we do. If we don't want to describe the region, put it down on the paper, and then 4 years later publish the plan. So we're in the process of updating chapter 1 right now. It's about 90% done, but it provides an overview of the physiographic provinces of Region G, of Brazos G, what the major water users are, different water sources. It provides a good overview of the planning area. Then we get into the meat of what we're doing, and that's we assess population and water demands on a decadal basis, starting for this planning cycle in year 2020, which is kind of odd because the 2021 plan is what we're developing. It's going to have a projection for 2020. That's just one of the ways that the Water Board has asked us to do this. But the population is projected on a county-wide basis by the state demographer. Then the Water Board takes those county-wide population projections and disaggregates them down to the individual water user group basis, based upon census data, based upon certificates of convenience and necessity of water utility service areas, a couple different ways, but they'll eventually have each county is divided up into these water user groups. The remaining population that's not served by one of these municipal water user groups is put into this county other category. In some cases, the county other category is kind of like it sounds. It's kind of the leftovers that aren't served. It's a lot of folks that own plots of land that have their own domestic well, but not served by a public water supply. But in some instances, in counties that have a lot of growth, I'm going to use Williamson County as an example. County other is probably a third of the water needs that we have in Williamson County. Because we have a bunch of people planning to move to Williamson County, and we have no idea who's going to serve them water. All of the existing utilities have said, here's our build-out condition, we're not going to serve a population greater than that. When you look at all those utilities and what they say their build-out condition is going to be, there's still another 40,000 people or more that need to be served by something. And basically what those are water utilities that haven't been developed yet. They're municipal utility districts or water supply corporations that still have to be built. So that gives that county other is kind of this hard thing to plan for. In some of the counties, it's a pretty significant amount of the population. But we then look at per capita water use and project those decadal populations times water use. Turns out, gives us water demand in acre feet per year. We reduce the gallons per capita day, that per capita water use, to account for the fact that over time, the statewide plumbing fixtures act, which was from 1991 or 93, is going to be more fully implemented. Folks are going to have lower flush toilets, lower flow shower heads, more efficient clothes and dishwashers. So the per capita use goes down over time. But that gives us our base water demand. We throw additional advanced conservation on top of that as a water management strategy, which I'll talk to you in a little bit. So that's how we get the water demands. Then the Water Board gives us also water demand projections for each of the county aggregated water user groups, manufacturing, steam electric, irrigation, livestock, et cetera. And then we assess current supplies. This is a big part of what we have to do in Region G. We use the state's water availability models, the TCQ WAMs, to determine how much water is available to specific water right holders. Then we utilize the MAG numbers, the model available groundwater that comes out of the groundwater management area process. We utilize that coupled with well information from the Water Development Board's well database to assign that MAG volume, that available groundwater supply, out to individual water users. And then the remaining MAG can be utilized as a source of supply for new strategies, for new water supplies if we need them in the plan. But we assign those current supplies to each of the water users. And then we calculate needs. You know, we talk about water needs, it's really shortages. That's the amount of additional water that an entity needs in, say, 2040, 2050, 2060, in order to meet their projected demands. So I'll use the term needs and shortages kind of interchangeably. The technical planning parlance uses the term needs. So you'll see needs in the state water plan. And then we look at and evaluate specific water management strategies. These could be projects. These could be actual management of water resources, water conservation. Put together plans for each of these over 500 water user groups in order to meet their future needs. And then we roll this all up into a regional water plan. And that's what we're in the process of doing right now. What we have together right now are draft plans for each of the water user groups in Region G. When we're done, when we've submitted the initially prepared plan, it goes out for public review comment. I'll talk about that schedule in a little bit. But then when the final plan is done, which will be in October of this year, then the state, the Water Development Board, will take all 16 regional water plans, roll them up into the state plan. So the 2021 regional water plans become the 2022 state water plan. It's always a year later. Then we start the process. So we do a lot of communication. Wayne, you're right, I do have it on the presentation, I forgot. We have the Brazos G website as our primary means of getting information out to the public. BRA hosts the website for us. They do a good job of hosting and posting meeting information, meeting minutes, all the technical information that we have prepared eventually gets put out there on the Brazos G website. There's an email contact widget if you want to be added to the mailing list, meeting notices and that sort of thing. You click on an email widget, send whatever message you want to send. Steve gets a copy of it, I get a copy of it, and then he and I decide what's the best way to answer the question. As we said, Steve maintains an email list of interested parties. And how many are on that list now?
A lot.
There's hundreds.
Right, a lot.
We have regularly scheduled planning group meetings where there is an opportunity at the start of each meeting to take public input. And we have some required public hearings that the state requires us to have as well. One of those is coming up in April. We talked about that a little bit as well. We do send out surveys to water user groups, also water providers, county judges, and groundwater conservation districts, particularly to get comments on the population and water demand projections so that we get those as accurate as possible. Water Health Board provides those to us. We review them. We make recommendations for them to be changed. The board has accepted all of our recommended changes this planning cycle. That happened a couple of years ago. We'll come out and make public presentations when time and funding allow. I've gone out and made a couple. Wayne makes some presentations occasionally. Steve, I don't know if you make some.
Not on behalf of Brazos.
Not on behalf of Brazos. Okay. And then we'll have other public meetings occasionally to discuss specific issues. We've met several times with the Williamson County folks to try to get consensus on what needs to be done with the large water needs or shortages in Williamson County. And you can phone us, you can email us, Brazos members, Steve, me, our information is there on the website. You can contact anybody involved with Region G and eventually, it'll come to me at some point. And then we have these sub-regional meetings to give an opportunity for you to look at what we've crafted in terms of draft plans to meet water needs and shortages for folks in, not really a third, but geographically broken down parts of the region. For our next steps, this week we're having these sub-regional meetings. Euphemistically referred to as kind of a Brazos roadshow. We'll be in Waco tomorrow and then Abilene on Thursday. February 12th is hopefully the planning group meeting, the Brazos meeting at which they will adopt the plan. So between now and February 12th, we're going to take any of the comments and suggestions that we've gotten from these sub-regional meetings, try to modify these draft plans for the water user groups. We're still coordinating with Pulse of Water Providers, the 10 Pulse of Water Providers, to make certain that we reflect their plans accurately. And then they'll adopt, hopefully at February 12th. If something happens and we have to schedule a second meeting for final adoption, that'll be February 26th, if we need it.
Right, and that's already on the books. It's just we'll cancel it if we don't. But all the members are planning to show up on February 26th.
And then we are contractually, and a lot of it's legislatively, but we are contractually obligated to deliver an initiative prepared. That means basically the draft regional plan March 3rd to the Water Development Board. We will meet that deadline. And then over the spring and summer is a comment period on this draft or initially prepared plan. It's going to be distributed to county clerks, county libraries across all 37 counties. In April, do we have a date for the public hearing yet?
It's either going to be April 15th or April 29th. So we still have to decide which of those two dates. But
okay, so write down those two dates, April 15th or April 29th, will be a public hearing that we are required to have. It's not a full planning group. Most of the planning group members don't show up, a lot do. But it's for us to accept official public comment on the initiative prepared plan. And generally we get, 50 to 90 individual comments on the regional plan.
And just, for your information, it is going to be, we're going to kind of co-host a Brazos G meeting that day in addition to the hearing. So it will be a full-up Brazos G meeting with the public hearing. So there'll be a little bit of Brazos G stuff on the agenda.
Okay. So after that public hearing, there's a 60-day clock that starts to tick where we get additional written comments in. So we have to post the meeting notice 30 days prior to the public hearing.
And then we have to leave the comment period open for 60 days for the public comment. State agencies comment on the plans. They've got a little bit different window on that. There's actually a federal agency comment period as well, and they've got a slightly different window. Water Health Board has 90 or 120 days to get their comments back on the regional plans. During that time, we'll also send out another survey that will basically say, here are the projects that are in the plan for your entity. How do you plan to pay for it? That's the infrastructure financing survey. That gets rolled up and it informs the Texas Water Development Board, who then informs the state legislature. Statewide, we've got $3.5 billion of water projects in the state water plan, and here's how folks intend to pay for it. Sometimes it's self-funded through rates. A lot of time it's, we need state or federal assistance to fund these water projects. But it gets a better ground truth for how are we going to pay for this water plan. We're also going to prioritize the strategies. That's kind of a new task that's been added the last couple of cycles. That's related to the SWIFT funding. There's a scoring process that we use to rank all of the water management strategies in a priority order from top to bottom. It was developed by each of the planning board chairmen over, I don't know how many meetings you guys had to develop that scoring process, but it took you guys a long time to do. That counts in the statewide scoring. If there's ever a shortage of funds under the SWIFT program, there hasn't been yet, but there always could be, not enough money to go around, that's how they'll decide which projects get funded ahead of others if there's a shortage of SWIFT funding. If there's more applicants than there is funds available. Over the summer, we'll address all those comments. If you send in a formal, official public comment during the comment period, it will be answered and addressed in the plan. In September, the planning group will adopt the final plan, and it's the final plans are due to be submitted to the Water Department Board October 14th of this year. So the 2021 plan will be completed by October of 2020. Any questions there on the schedule?
You mind if I add something real quick?
Sure, please.
So I would say for the important dates for you let's say that we decide to have it on April 29th. I think we might be leaning toward that, but it hasn't become official yet. 30 days prior to that is when the public comment period opens. Prior to that comment period opening, we have to have a hard copy. We basically have to have the public access in county clerk's offices and at least one library in each county. And so we've contacted all the county clerks and are trying to get their preferences. And it seems like most county clerks want to have a hard copy in the county clerk's office. And then we're going to coordinate with libraries, at least one, probably will be one county library in each county. And we're going to work toward having it available electronically at the libraries. That just saves a few thousand dollars in printing costs if we can do it electronically. So each county clerk's office will have a hard copy prior to that 30-day comment period opening. It'll be in there for basically 90 days, 30 days prior to the hearing, 60 days after. And in each county library, there'll be a letter with a posted website that they can go to one of the library computers and access the plan. And so that's how we're getting it out there. Yes, it'll be posted on the website as well. And so you can go to it from your home computer, but we have to assume that a lot of people don't have home computers, and to make sure that the public has access, we have to go through the county clerk's office and library.
And there will be a couple of libraries that we have to give a hard copy to as well if they don't necessarily have a strong internet connection.
Right.
Or something. I guess that's not going to happen.
Right. But it will be available to the public prior to the 30-day comment period opening.
So I'm going to go through each of the counties in the lower sub-region. I'm going to talk a little bit about water user groups. I'm going to present these on a county-by-county basis. We're going to talk about all use types. I'm only going to present water user groups that have needs or for which we have a recommended strategy. You can have a recommended strategy in the plan even if we're not anticipating that you're going to have a projected. You may have a surplus of water, but you want to diversify your water supply and you want to get another water supply project on the books. Well, we can go ahead and do that even though you don't have a need. So just because you may have a projected surplus doesn't mean we won't put a project in the plan. And that does happen as you see as we go through this. And you know, it's the higher math. The needs are the difference between your supply and your demands. If the demands are greater than the projected supply in any decade, you have a need or a shortage. And I'm going to go down to the lower basin, where the technology will work. There, all right. Because this slide deck has about 360 slides in it, so I'm going to want to go through all of those. These are the lower basin counties we're going to talk about, and we're going to go left to right, north to south as I go through it in this order. So it's not going to be an alphabetical, it's going to be kind of a geographic way of going across. We're going to go Milam, Robertson, Lee, Burleson, Brazos, Grimes, and Washington. If you look at Milam County, these are all of the water user groups in Milam County. The format of these tables is the municipal water user groups are always going to be listed first, and then we'll have the county aggregated are listed at the bottom. What we're showing here are surplus or shortage. There's a need or a surplus of water in years 2040 and in years 2070. We also have 2020, 2030, 2050, and 2060 as well that we're planning for. But this is just a shortened way of getting that information. You can gradually get a pretty good look. And then we have a comment over here. For example, Belmont Falls Water Supply Corporation is, as its name implies, it's in three different counties. But we only plan for it specifically in one county, so we're going to go to the Bell County plan for Bell Milam Falls Water Supply Corporation, though they do serve some parts of Milam County. Other comments? We'll put a projected surplus. If there's projected surplus and no comments after that, we're really not going to have anything in the plan for you unless you ask us to put a strategy in. Sometimes, well, it will say projected surplus, see plan below. And then there's text that the different county plans have been posted already on the RSG website in draft form. And then typically what we'll look at is projected shortage. Anything in parentheses, projected shortage, we'll have to do some sort of a plan to meet those projected shortages. Yes?
I don't know if you want to take questions during the presentation.
Sure. If you guys have any questions, raise your hand. We can stop.
Steam Electric, it says shortage, but you're showing a surplus.
That is a typo. As I said, these are draft. So, and there will be areas you'll see on this.
When you ask that. Raise your hand.
No.
I saw the head go.
I've had to review all of these, so if there's a typo like that, it's on me. I was the final gatekeeper. So. Thank you for catching that, by the way.
Was that in relation to the last action that we took in changing that steam electric and changing the projects that had to do with alcohol?
No, because that shortage is based upon current supplies, so we'll create a need, but it wouldn't show up necessarily in the state.
But it is a shortage, not a surplus.
Actually, Steam Electric should have a surplus in Milam County right now because of the groundwater and Lake Alcoa and the surface water that they have. I don't think there's a shortage there. But thanks for catching that.
Right here, Dave.
Yes, sir.
This is just an abbreviated chart, though. You're not saying that there is no shortage until 2040. There could be shortages earlier. They're just not shown.
Exactly. There could be shortages earlier. What we kind of did is take a snapshot of 2040 and then the end of the planning process. Sometimes you'll see, and this will be in a couple of places, where we'll show positives here, but then projected shortage, because we may have a shortage in 2030. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't show up on this table.
Thanks. So
it just makes it easier to see it rather than put all five decades on there.
Yep.
So Milam County, the city of Cameron, the only project, the only strategy we have for them is for them to pursue some advanced conservation to reduce their gallons per capita day. And I'm gonna start with Cameron. We are required to consider first water conservation, or more specifically, advanced water conservation, as a first step towards meeting any projected water needs. So if we have an entity that has a shortage, we have to consider conservation first before we consider any other strategy. Conservation is typically never going to get you where you need to go, but it is an important part of that water supply portfolio. And in the regional state water planning process, the amount of water that's saved through water conservation counts as an additional supply. That's where we show it on the books, technically speaking.
So is that Region 3 adopted a number, 140 gallons per day,
yes,
per capita?
Mm-hmm.
Is this indicative that for Cameron, they are using more than 140
yes
gallons per day per capita?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why. You notice that Cameron, based upon the supply analysis that we did, have surpluses in every decade of the planning process. What Brazos G has opted to do is they've established a region-wide target of a gallons per capita day usage of 140. And if you're above 140, we are going to recommend that you pursue advanced water conservation. And how you get to 140 is a 1% per year reduction in your gallons per capita day until you reach 140. And then it's held constant at 140 after that. And so if Cameron was able to get between 2020 and 2030, 1% per year reduction, well then that would result in a savings of 107 acre feet in 2030. In 2040, 218. In 2050, 339. And then all the way up. So because we're showing additional conservation in 2070, that means that they've never quite gotten to 140 on a 1% per year reduction through that planning process. Occasionally you'll see where it tails off and then water conservation doesn't save you any additional after a certain time period. That's because they've reached that 140 gallons per capita day. And the only deviation we've made from that is in Williamson County, we've opted to go with a target of 120 gallons per capita day. That's something that we established last planning cycle with most of the water utilities in Williamson County. They all thought that an ultimate target of 120 was reasonable. So that does provide additional conservation. Last planning cycle, we actually broke it out, 140 and then 120 is two separate conservation goals. For this planning cycle, it's just 120 is the target for Williamson County, 140. And then we'll show what their projected surplus or shortage is after conservation. And this is kind of an odd thing, and we're still debating internally how to show this. But if they have a surplus, and then we have them conserve 107 acre feet, does it or does it not increase their surplus? And it's really kind of a nomenclature thing. How do we show that? We're still kind of debating internally how to show that number. There are some entities that that buy water on a needs met type basis, where local water provider will provide them water based upon what their needs are. So their shortages are always going to be zero. We show conservation, maybe a couple hundred acre feet per year of savings. And then does that actually increase their supply, or does it just still give them a zero net balance? Which it's really just how do you show it appropriately in the plan so it's not confusing. We're still working on that. I'm welcome any suggestions you guys might want to give us as well as to how to show it. In this table here, we're actually adding it to. North Vineland Water Supply Corporation is in the same situation. No projected shortages, but we are recommending water conservation. The city of Rockdale, this is the first one that we're showing that have some modest shortages out into the future. Water conservation is going to get them about a third of the way in 2070, but not all the way. And so we're recommending that they go to Lee County and drill some wells into the Griesel Wilcox Aquifer. That could be Griesel water, it could be Simsboro water, and bring that water in. And this is what they're considering as a community as well right now. Southwest Wild Water Supply Corporation is in the same boat. A little bit of savings from water conservation, and then water supply from some wells in Lee County. Looking at irrigation, for the county aggregated water demand, for example, irrigation, we recommended a 3%, 5%, and 7% reduction in water use throughout the planning process. We goes from 3 to 5 to 7. Except for Steam Electric, and the planning group had a long, several long conversations about what does water conservation look like for steam electric water use. And they've ultimately decided not to recommend conservation for steam electric water use because most steam electric operators are going to utilize as little water as possible because water is a commodity that costs money. They're going to utilize their resources as efficiently as possible. So we have some water conservation in, we have some shortages in 2030 and 2040. Water conservation, irrigation conservation techniques will handle all of those shortages. This is one of those instances where water conservation will eliminate some of the relatively minor water needs that we have. Going into Robertson County, there's only one water user group that shows a projected shortage, and that's Robertson County Water Supply Corporation. Everybody else shows a surplus, except for some of the county aggregated. And I'm going to talk about irrigation in a second with these guys and steam electric. Those are two relatively large needs that are projected in Robertson County. First City of Bremen, we're recommending conservation as a general rule because their gallons per capita today is greater than 140. City of Hearn, the same thing. Robertson County Water Supply Corporation, they've got some modest shortages projected out. Their gallons per capita today is less than 140, so we're not recommending any additional advanced conservation for them. So what we end up here is their projected needs or surplus or shortage, and then we'll always show what it is after conservation. If there's no conservation, then it's just kind of a zero-sum game there. And then have them go out and develop additional groundwater to meet their needs. Clay Creek Water Supply Corporation, no projected shortages. Water supply conservation again. Robertson County Other, these are the county aggregated folks that have small domestic wells or maybe served by a water supply corporation that is very small, only serves less than 100 acre feet. We've got some conservation recommended for them. Then we'll look at steam electric needs. And these are fairly large projected shortages, largely based upon the Water Department Board's projections for steam electric water use. And there's a couple reports that you can go to the Water Department Board's website that explain how they developed these water needs for steam electric power generation. There is really no big supply of water. There's really no plans to build additional generating capacity in Robinson County. So we're really not certain that these shortages are real, because we're not certain that those demands are actually going to appear. So we have a fairly large shortage. The process right now is get some additional groundwater to be part of that shortage, but generally we're going to leave these needs unmet. This actually has another strategy, and that's Water Creek Mine pumps some groundwater to depressurize for lignite mining, purchase some water from them as well, but it still leaves some fairly large deficits. There really is not an economical solution to meet those needs. So this is the first time we're going to be leaving needs unmet. Generally, the needs left unmet are for the larger county area. And then irrigation in Robertson County, again, fairly sizable shortages. That doesn't mean that on a wet year or most years that they don't have water available to irrigate with. But these are dry year demands coupled with drought year supplies. So we're looking at how much water is available during a repeat of the drought record under relatively hot dry year demands. So it's a kind of a super conservative number. What we know would happen is most irrigators are going to let the fields go fallow during the drought. So some water conservation can be used to go meet some of those needs, but then we're recommending that those needs be shown as being left unmet rather than put a big expensive project in the plan that would never get built to meet those irrigation needs. Going on to Lee County, everybody in Lee County is projected to have surpluses, except for mining. And this is one of those instances where we show positives in 2040 and 2070, but there is some shortages in 2020 and 2030. So we'll try to note that. Aqua Water Supply Corporation, some water conservation, we'll add some of their supply. City of Giddings, the same thing. City of Lexington, same thing. Lee County Mining has some relatively modest shortages in 2020 and 2030. Those can be met through reduced water use, we say water conservation, reduced water use, and then some additional groundwater development can increase the water. Going on to Burleson County, we've got no shortages that we're showing for the municipal water user groups. Small shortage for manufacturing and a small shortage for irrigation. City of Caldwell, we're implementing some water conservation to reduce their gallons per capita day usage. Same with Snook, same with Somerville. For manufacturing, relatively small needs. Conservation will take care of part of that. Then, additional groundwater development, we've just chosen this far awkward where they can sink wells just about anywhere. But we're only talking about 2 acre feet per year. That's essentially about 3 to 4 gallons per minute well, pretty small wells to meet some of those needs. And then for irrigation shortages, conservation, improved irrigation practices is recommended to overcome those shortages and needs. But in Brazos County, it's a little bit different. Have some shortages. A lot of it is just because both Bryan and College Station need to go out and develop their next groundwater supplies based upon the projected demands that we have for them. Texas A&M's got a small shortage. Welburn said we'll have a shortage out, I think in 2060 it starts. And then everywhere else is pretty flush. So for City of Bryan, this is where we want to ask our good friends at the City of Bryan, recommending some conservation to reduce your shortages. And then we know that one of your plans is just to go out and drill an additional Sinsborough appraisal well. And then we also, so we have one in Brazos County, one in Robertson County, and then as an alternative, you tell us if you want to make this a recommended strategy, we have an alternative to your SR project that we put into the plan.
Probably our preference since it was a recommended strategy in the previous plan.
Okay. So did you catch that, Janet? this is their recommended preferred alternative is the ASR project. So what we'll do is we'll put that up front and then we'll
I think the Robertson County Wellfield was an alternative last time.
Yeah. So we'll swap those.
That's what it should be.
Pardon?
So that's what it should be.
All right, we'll swap those.
Could you tell us what an ASR is?
Okay, ASR stands for Aquifer Storage and Recovery. It is a way of storing water underground, where it's not subject to evaporation, for use later. And so what Bryan is intending with their ASR project, and there shouldn't be any dollar signs on those supplies, is they have a capacity limitation on their transmission line from the well field into town. So during summer when demands are higher, they have trouble, they have sufficient groundwater supply, they just can't get it into town fast enough. So during the winter, when supplies are lower, they can pump their groundwater well field more, utilize that excess transmission capacity, bring water in closer to town, put it back into the ground, store it, and then it's available for them to pump out during the summer without having to worry about the transmission capacity. So it's going to help them meet their summer peaking and help them more fully utilize their existing groundwater supplies. Is that pretty much summarize it? City of College Station has some shortages beginning in 2030. They're down half a day due to, no doubt, Jennifer's actions as their water resource coordinator. Their gallons per capita today is generally under 140. So they can get some conservation savings early on in 2030, but then after that, they're below the target of 140. So they still have some remaining remaining shortages. We have on tap for them an ASR project. Not like Brian, this would actually use effluent from the Lick Creek and Carver Creek wastewater plants to treat that water at a higher level and put it in the ground for subsequent use later. And then additional groundwater development from the Greaser Wilcox. These are likely Sinsborough wells. I don't know. We've got them. We don't have the county identified here. I'm thinking this is probably Robertson County. It could be Brazos. And then as an alternative, going to direct potable reuse. And we're still working with the city on what their preferred options are to put in. But direct potable reuse is as it sounds, taking water from the wastewater plant, treating it to a high level with a reverse osmosis facility, and then putting it back into the drinking water system. Becoming a lot more of a viable alternative for cities. There's several of these around the state now for extraction and direct potable reuse. Texas A&M University has some modest projected shortages that we can meet all those except in year 2020 with water conservation. We're assuming that conservation doesn't take into effect in arrears. So we don't have any conservation savings specifically in 2020. So that kind of gives us what do we do for those needs in 2020 that could be met by conservation, but we're not going to show it met. That need will likely just be left unmet because it's not really a real need in our opinion. As the planning group step. Wilbur and Sud conservation to give them a little bit more of a surplus and get their usage down to 140. Brazos County Steam Electric doesn't have any shortages except for, and this is where you know, we have a 1 acre foot deficit in 2020 that we're just going to leave that unmet. That really is, that's kind of an artifact of how the projections are done and how we assign supplies. But when you put everything into the Water Board's database, all these numbers go into the database and they'll spit out projected needs for us. We also keep a separate running spreadsheet of those totals as well, so we have a back check on the numbers we put in the Board's database. That really is a part of that. But we do things down to the single acre foot when we do the planning. Looking at Grimes County, everybody has a surplus. Except for mining and irrigation, have some small needs that have to be met. City of Navasota, we have some conservation. Grimes County, there's a couple of prison units that they can conserve some water. And then looking at mining, some reduced usage for conservation, and then additional development from the Gulf Coast Aquifer to meet their needs. And then Grimes County Irrigation, pretty much the same plan. Do some conservation to reduce water usage and then meet the remaining needs through additional groundwater development from the Gulf Coast Aquifer, showing that there's sufficient bottled available groundwater left. But in Washington County, we have a projected shortage for City of Brenham and Parks, Utilities, and then Mining. And for City of Brenham, we're recommending one, conservation will get them most of the way there, and except for probably in these early decades. So we're recommending that they go and develop additional groundwater. Mm-hmm. I want to talk after about what you guys would like to see. Parks Utilities, again, a little bit more for development from the Gulf Coast Aquifer. And Washington County Manufacturing Conservation should take care of most of these needs. And then mining, additional groundwater development from the Gulf Coast. So that is all the counties in this lower subregion. All of the water user groups for which we have a draft plan developed. Do you have any questions before I move on to the final part of the presentation?
Just curiosity, not county specific, for any of the water plans for the counties within Brazos G, is under livestock, is there anything, any county that has something other than demand equal supply? You know?
In Brazos G, no, there's not. We assume the livestock needs are met with stock tanks and local supplies that don't show up as defined aquifer supplies or run over water.
That's what I figured. I just was curious.
For the most part, livestock demands are fairly low throughout Brazos G. If you go up into Region O,
yeah,
it's a little bit different. But right, all the combined feeding lots and everything else, that's a tremendous water need they have up there, and it's a little bit different.
Sure.
Looking at the wholesale water providers, we have a lot of these water user groups that I presented are wholesale water providers, meaning they meet their municipal retail needs, but they also sell water on a wholesale basis to other entities. Bryan College Station, for example, we both also wholesale water providers. So the needs that show up there that we showed, that is needs for their municipal retail customers, as well as what they're contractually obligated to provide to others. So just because I didn't identify them as a wholesale water provider, they are also wholesale water providers, and those needs reflect what their total demands are, retail and wholesale. But we do have several entities, there's 10 of them. We're going to add an 11th here before the IPP gets published, that all they do is sell wholesale water. And they're not also water user groups. Their needs and charges are pretty much determined the same way. We look at their contractual obligations. How much are they contractually obligated to be able to provide? Because if someone writes a contract, is paying on, for example, a take-or-pay basis, they better have that water available when that entity needs that water. Sometimes they own their own sources, groundwater, surface water. Sometimes they purchase from other wholesale water providers. And then we'll take those supplies that they have and constrain them based upon their capability to deliver. A wholesale water provider may own a reservoir and just may not have tapped into it yet. So we'll show a fairly large supply, but then we constrain it if they don't have transmission or treatment capacity to actually move the water. And then a project would be to install that water treatment plant capacity in that pipeline. As I said, their demands that we assume are their full contractual amount. And then some of them provide water on a meets basis. Basically, they've agreed to meet whatever the customer's water needs are. That's typically going to be a bigger city has a meets contract with a municipal utility district or a small water supply corporation that's adjacent to them. They'll just agree to meet their needs. And there are some types of water providers that do the same thing. And then we'll also throw in supplies that they need to develop based upon strategies that have been recommended for others. And we didn't see that in any of these counties here, but there are instances where we'll have a water management strategy for a small utility is go buy additional water from, for example, City of Bryan. But we will add those additional demands to City of Bryan and show that as well. And we're coordinating those with those wholesale water providers now. That's going to be presented at the February 12th meeting. And then this is an interesting table. It's actually two slides. These are areas throughout the region where we are recommending leaving specific needs unmet. And we've got them broken out. We've got them broken out by county and then type of water user group. Typically, it's going to be steam electric, mining, or irrigation that we're recommending that those needs be left unmet. It could be that the steam electric water demand projections for a given county, those plans have been abandoned. Hood or Hill County, I think that's the case. Actually, Hood County, there is plans to build a steam electric station in Hood County. They've since pulled that back. They had their air permit, it was all ready to go, and then they pulled back for whatever reason. So those demands that are projected really aren't going to appear. And it's too late to change those demands, so we'll just leave those needs unmet. And then some instances for irrigation, it's just too expensive to build a project in some of these areas, particularly in the upper and western part of the region that's fairly arid. There's just no water available to meet those irrigation demands during the drought. So there's several instances where that's going to happen. And we can explain each of those, and we will explain each of those in the county plans. Because the board asked us to explain why we're recommending the utility needs. Daniel?
Hey, David, I was just going to follow up a question a little earlier. I wasn't sure if I saw the slide, not myself, but Young County was the only county that had an instance of a livestock need.
Thank you for reminding me. So there's a small need in 2020 for Young County. And so really, is that need really going to happen between now and the end of the year?
Right.
Like. So this is time to address any questions or comments you might have. If you have specific questions regarding your plan or your demands, your population projections, how we got to showing your shortages, we have the data back on our laptops back there. Wayne, anything else you'd like to add? Kim?
I'm going to reiterate Wayne's comments that we're really pleased that you're here. One of the things that we do as a planning group is we make our best guess sometimes because we can't get the input. Talk to your neighbors, talk to your coworkers. People understand that Texas is growing, and it's growing in ways that perhaps no one really understood. And kudos to the state of Texas for understanding that we need to think about these issues. Don't wait until our backs are against the wall. That's the worst time to do planning. And we have encountered people in Bynum County with backs against their wall. That's not the time to do some water planning. It's now. Think about what you like, what you don't like, or you scratch your head, why is it not met need? What is that? Maybe it should be met. You know, and think about how your communities are growing, because that's going to be the driver for us to do that water planning. Without that, we're the Ouija board.
Zach, you got anything to say?
No, sir.
Okay.
You're quiet.
Sir, I would just add that, you know, as far as the administrative agent for Region G, if you feel like there's anything we could do better with our website or with communication or anything like that, please let me know, because, you know, we want to make sure that we get the word out so that people know and know how to communicate with the planning group. You know, and have that access. Of course, the Brazos G meetings are public. They'd love to have you up in Waco.
Except for the individual consultation.
But please let me know if there's anything that we can do to try to improve the access and communication.
And again, I thank you all for being here, sitting through this. This is a lot of repetitive type of information until your city shows up, and then you're interested.
And then come back to your phone.
But we would like to sit in the back there and talk with you. If you'd like to have anything changed, or you'd like to understand how we got these demands for you, we've got that information.
That's what I was going to say. And if you're really interested and want to sit through a presentation that has more counties in it, come to the upper basin in Abilene. And how many counties?
That's where the bulk of the counties are, right?
Thank y'all for coming. We're through, but like David said, if you have any individual questions or you want to look at something specific in the plan, they'll be there in the back to answer any of your questions and help you. Thank y'all.